Our scripture lesson today starts at Psalm 19, all of it. It's 185 verses. It's a simple psalm from the director of music. Psalm 19, for the sermon titled, An Overture from God. David writes this psalm, and I want you to pay attention to it because there's going to be a test at the end of the sermon. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heaven and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making the wise simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May God add his blessings to these words. Join with me in prayer. Father, as we endeavor today, we learn. As we journey forth, we grow. As we take the path, we walk a little bit closer the way you would have us. And so I would ask that these words be filling, that we would gain knowledge, not to be smarter, but to know more of Jesus and of you. May we be strengthened from it and go from here ready to proclaim your name against everything and everyone, making ourselves blameless in your sight. We thank you, Father, for this message from you, not men. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. All right, got some questions. Have you ever picked up two rocks and clanged them together? Of course you have. We're all kids. Take two rocks and bang them together. Do they make music? No. They make noise though, don't they? And sometimes if you get that good old white mountain quartz and you strike them together, you can make spark. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever taken a stick or a twig and snapped it in half just to hear it crack? Of course you have. Does it make music? No, it's just noise, isn't it? Now, you might be ornery, and you might try to get a stick in the dark and sneak up behind somebody where they can't see you and break it behind them while they're walking in the dark just to see what they do. Not that I've ever done that recently. But it didn't make noise. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard a tree clap? No. You ever heard them clap? I mean, you heard them rustle and carry on. Do they clap? Do they make music? We sing that song, don't we? About the trees clapping? Yeah, boy. If I ever see a tree clapping, I'm going to know what's about to happen. We're out of here. And yet, they do make music. You see, we oftentimes get lost And we forget that God is in everything, everywhere, all the time. We all in this room, ain't a person in this room that does not like some form of music. It fills your heart. It gives you life. It gives you breath. And all of the great music has been inspired. And a lot of it has been inspired by men who have been dwelt with God and have seen things that caused them. But very rarely does the great music that we ever hear come from being inspired by nature. Nature doesn't make music. It may give us thought. It may give us glory. C.S. Lewis once said that seeing nature in all its glory did not prove God to me. I found that existence, and after I did find God in Christ, seeing nature in all its existence explained the meaning of glory to me. I like that statement. Seeing nature in God's work made glory come alive to him. Wonderful stuff. But not too many songs have been inspired by nature until we meet Ludwig. You all know Ludwig, don't you? Enter Ludwig into the picture. He was born in February 1809. He was German, and he was a wonderful German, and he comes from a period of time that we refer to in history as the Romantic period. Ooh la la. Romantic period. Where everybody walked around all the time going, and art burst forth, and music was created, and Renaissance began in the Romantic period. And Ludwig was from the Romantic period, born in Germany. He revived the interest in Bach. He was a pianist. He wondered about the piano, and he loved it. He was born into a Jewish family that renounced Judaism and went without God and religion until Ludwig was 7. And then they became Christians. And they began to see God and Jesus in everything. He was revived in his visits around the world. Made his first public appearance playing the piano at age 9. Where he participated in chamber music and a concert accompanying a horn duo. Now, let me just straighten you out here, since most of you are not as educated and as refined as I am, because we all know that I exude culture. Chamber music was considered the music of the day, and if you play piano in a chamber group, you better know how to do it, or you would be thorned and scorned and pushed and shoved out the door. And at age 9, he did it. This octet and his overture to Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream, which he wrote a year later in 1826, are considered some of his early works. Does anybody know who Ludwig is? Beethoven, right? You are all wrong. I gotcha. Yes. He studied and he wrote, and he began the popular form of musical romanticism. As a matter of fact, Ludwig studied under the composer and piano virtuoso Musachelis. Now, I had to work to pronounce that, and I'm probably butchering it anyway. But he wrote, and he studied art and literature, and Ludwig went on to become a painter. And he wrote literature, not just music. He fell to all of it, and he loved it. Ludwig got struck by something called Fingal's Cave. Anybody ever heard of Fingal's Cave? My goodness gracious. It just so happens that I can introduce you to Fingal's Cave. My lovely assistant is coming from the back. And I have to tell you, and I have to reach out to Greg, because I called Greg at 8 o'clock this morning. And I said, Greg, I'm so sorry, but I have to tell you right now, this has got to happen today as part of what, do you want to uncover it?
That's my lovely assistant.
And Fingal's Cave, when this comes up, Fingal's Cave is on the shore of Scotland. Scotland. And Ludwig visited Fingal's Cave and he was absolutely awestruck by it. Fingal's Cave is formed entirely of hexagonal joints to make this wonderful cave, which, you gotta make that picture a little bigger. It lives just here on this island. It has these openings here for the water to rush in. Fingal's Cave. Legend has it that it was created by a legendary giant whose only idea was to build a road across from Ireland to Scotland. And so he came up with Fingal's Cave. Let's see if I can make that a little bigger. Kind of do this stuff on the fly, you know. Fingal's Cave. Not a very good picture, but all of these are hexagonal. How many? What's a hex? How many sides?
Six.
My wife's back here going, six. Six-sided stones that create this thing. And water flows in and out of these ports. And Ludwig visited it. And it's considered, look at that inside. Can you see that? The water flows in and back. And you can walk in there. And you can stand in something that was created. How and why, we do not know. But God's hand lived upon it. This should be deep inside looking out. Yeah. As you stand in Fingal's Cave, all you see is one way out. Created. It's uninhabited. And yet, something draws millions of visitors to Fingal's Cave every year. You see, Fingal's Cave talks to God. Fingal's Cave brings forth music. The acoustics within inside of Fingal's Cave, as the seawall rushes in and out, creates sound. It creates music. And if you stand at certain parts of it, you can hear the rushing waters create. And Felix visiting there in 1820 couple was so struck by it and so inspired that one night upon visiting it, I think in 1826, he went back to the boat and in one night wrote something to honor God and honor Fingal's Cave. He wrote Hebrides Overture. And in case you don't know who Felix is, Ludwig Jacob Felix Mendelssohn. I want you to absorb anything like that. Say amen.
Amen.
Put that paper in the book. Hebrides Overture. In a letter written to his sister about this overture, he said, as I stood on the cliffs and watched the power of the sea go in and out, as I heard the sound, I had never seen or felt or been closer to God in any moment than right then. It's written in two parts. The first part of it is to feel the power and stunning awesomeness of the sea as it beats against the rock
that has stood there for thousands and thousands of years. The second part is to be the loneliness and the solitude, only captivated by the peak of that island at which you stand and watch this and become aware that God is everything, everything, everything. 11 minutes long. It was never written to begin an opera or a play or nothing. It was simply written to stand alone as one man's love for God and written out as such. We often forget about the beauty of that. We often think about what in the world are we going to do today about the ugliness around us, and yet we get lost if we just take 5 minutes and listen to that kind of gut-wrenching, soul-burning love for God. Say amen. Amen. Martin Luther said, "The devil takes flight at the sound of music, just as he does at the words of theology. And for this reason, the prophets always combine theology and music, the teaching of truth and the chanting of psalms and hymns. After theology," he wrote, "I give the highest place and the greatest honor to music for God." You notice no piano? It's played with two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, two horns, two trumpets, a timpani, and a set of strings. And that's it. And he autographed the original manuscript, and it currently resides in the Bodleian Library in Oxford, England, dedicated to Frederick William, what is it, I under V, the fourth. Frederick William the Fourth of Prussia, the Crown Prince of Prussia, as a work of his ultimate love for God and all things about him. We often wander around this world wondering what, why. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus Christ, in being brought down into Jerusalem, they brought it to Jesus and threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Ooh, baby. And there they are crying out. I'll be here 10 years starting in December. And a nice thing to be would be to send Paul to Fingal's Cave. Wouldn't you think? No, not a good thing. I'm going there because I want to experience that. We need to remember God has made everything. Go back to Genesis 1. How does it start? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The psalmist says that all the works of heaven cry out and praise him every single day. I think about the ways we watch him at work on a lazy summer day, watching two bumblebees in an argument. You ever done that? Just sit there and watch them just argue over a piece of wood? Or when that quiet, as it's snowing, fills the air. In the middle of a snowstorm, in the middle of all this tempestuous carrying on, when it quiets down and just snows, there is a silence that is just breathtaking. The smell of grass when you first cut it, when a new baby utters that brand new cry. How about when you're snapping beans on the porch with Grandma? I love that. When you see the love of your life walking down the aisle for the first time. Oh, I remember that. I looked up and I said, "Thank you, God, that she's not running away." All of this moves me and gives me understanding and just proves more and more one thing. An overture from God started when we saw the cross. That's the truest overture. That's the beginning. When you see the cross, you look at the symbol of hate by so many in this world. And that's the truth. You tell somebody you're a Christian and automatically one of two things happen. They raise an eyebrow and look at you, or they immediately want to try to turn and walk away. And yet we see the glory of God. His greatest overture. Something to herald the beginning of something yet to come to set us free. Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians, says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." It is His overture. It is His beginning. It is His moment when Jesus Christ, above all else, for the 3 years, it had only just begun by the death of Jesus on that cross. Things were going to get really good now. Sin was going to be taken away. Sin was going to be no more. Death was going to be destroyed. God's overture, Jesus Christ, was about to begin the greatest things to follow yet. Go back to Psalm 19 for a moment. I want you to reread the first part with me. Now I want you to hear it when you think about clacking some stones together or snapping a twig or do the trees clap. Yeah, I think they probably do. We just don't hear it. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. Verse 3. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. One of the greatest things we can do is stop and listen. And accept and see what's truly around us. I was watching a program here not too long ago about somebody what lost both their legs due to an illness. I thought, my God. And they got them pieces put on that has the hoop on them so that they can walk. What they call them, blades? And this person runs in races. And when asked about what they lost, he said, "Well, I lost my legs, but I gained so much more in being able to do this and help others." He saw the glory of God around him. He stopped and listened for the overture to start. Felix Mendelssohn stood on that mountain, wrote his sister, "I have never been so touched." And he must have been to sit down and write that in one night. I can't even write my name in a couple minutes. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you today that when you get out there, we step back outside this door and the world starts in on you again and you think, my golly, how much more can I take, to stop for a moment and listen for God and what He is doing, what He has done, and what is yet to come. Amen? And I'll bet you if you do that, you'll hear that there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. The heavens and the earth declare Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let us join together in prayer. Father, there is much that we have to listen to. There is much that we have around us that we may not even realize it. Some people may go to Fingal's Cave and hear a bunch of water slapping around on rocks, and yet we hear it praising the works of the Lord. Some people may hear noise in the forest and just dismiss it as wind, yet we hear praising of the Lord. Some people may look to that bloody old cross and see it as an emblem of hate, and yet we hear the praising of the Lord. Father, strengthen our hearts to remind ourselves that when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't the end. It was the beginning. It was the beginning of things to come. It was the breaking of sin over us. It was our salvation. It was our now moment to be connected to You forever. Through His blood, we are washed and set free. And we need only remember it, Father. I submit this to You to strengthen us in the days and weeks to come. In Jesus' precious name, Amen.